Happy Sabbath, brethren. Well, my message today is about encouragement. I'd given one of these here a little while back, and I thought it would be good to do it again, only this has got a little different information in it, and hopefully it'll be of value to people. You give encouragement to the downtrodden to build somebody up. You give hope to others, to lift up and encourage anyone, all others, not just limited to us brothers and sisters in Christ, but to all people. We all need a little encouragement from time to time, and we need to be good listeners. That's part of what encouragement is about. If we all want to butt in and give our 2 cents worth, we're not going to get very far with helping somebody. So often the lonely and downtrodden need us as good, patient, quiet listeners. Someone who's loving, humble, has a quiet spirit, and so on. There's not enough listeners today, I can tell you that. We all want to express our point of view to somebody else when all they want to do is have a good listener. So many of us are eager to voice our own opinion, which may not be about the topic in question at all, or of any benefit to the person who needs it. From time to time, we can all use a little positive encouragement in our own lives. I like this story, and I use it from time to time, about a speaker at a self-help seminar. He was speaking about personal advancement and so on. And when he finished, he walked off the stage, and this woman came by and began to talk with him for several minutes. When finished, the woman thanked this fellow 2 or 3 times and walks away. The speaker turns to a friend and says, "I didn't say one single word to her. All I did was listen to her. And she got a big boost just because she could talk to somebody that didn't constantly interrupt her, whereas most of her friends did." This sounds like home, in a way. From time to time, what happens at home is that the phone will ring, and Anna starts talking to the caller, and then she begins to listen and listen and listen because this other person has a lot of things on her heart. And Anna, from time to time, will pass on encouragement. But a lot of times, she's just a very good listener. And that's what we all need to be. We just need to be good listeners and to pay attention to other people. We're not the only people in the world, and we're not the only people with problems. Everybody's got them. And they're getting worse, it seems. Well, let's turn to the book of Joshua. We're going to be there for a little bit. And it's about encouragement, because I didn't realize how encouraging Rahab actually was. She's a very encouraging person to these spies. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "I'll give you every place where your foot has stand, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon to the great river Euphrates to the great sea," meaning the Mediterranean, "on the west. No one," listen to this, No one will be able to stand against you. This is God talking to Joshua. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if God is giving us that kind of encouragement, there's nothing that we can't do. It's just amazing how encouragement helps people out. And it helped Joshua out in this case as well. Okay, verses 6 through 9. Victory will come only if you obey all of the laws from Moses, my servant, and his writings. So beginning in verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land, and I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You see, God is giving him instructions on how to go about being successful. Before, he was encouraging him on other things. Now this is telling him exactly how that he can be a successful warrior. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And that's what our life is about today. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous. Do not be terrified or afraid. Do not be discouraged or dismayed. For the Eternal, your God, will be with you wherever you go. There's a lot of encouragement here, not only from Rahab, as we'll see in a minute, but from God himself. So Joshua's going to be getting a lot of this here for a little bit. Let's drop down to verse 16 through 18. Then they answered Joshua, this is the people talking to him now. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do it. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will fully obey you. Only may the Eternal, your God, be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. There's a lot of support every place in this book of Joshua. And we can see all of it coming to pass right here already. What kind of effort do you suppose God's word plus the people's word have on Joshua? In chapter 12, it's interesting because in chapter 12 of Joshua, it lists 31 kings that Joshua conquered on the west side of the Jordan River. There is still much more work to be done, however, but Joshua is getting old and is going to be unable to do it because he's just too old to do those kind of battles anymore. Let's go on and move on to chapter 2. Joshua 2 and verse 1. Here we see that Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shechem, go over the land he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, there's some Israelites that have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. Now, Rahab is sharp enough to lie to the king. It took a lot of guts to do that because her head was in peril at that time, for a little while anyway, there one afternoon. And she lied to the king and said that they've already gone. But the woman had taken up the two men and hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she'd taken them up on the roof of her house and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords at the Jordan River. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. So what she does is send these guys on a wild goose chase, and they go back over to the main camp of the Jews, and it's by the Jordan River. Okay? That's where these pursuers went. Now we see that the plot thickens a little bit. The king of Jericho was told, look, oh, no, I got ahead of myself here. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. Verse 8, before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Eternal, you see, she's got the right name for the God of the Jewish nation, the Eternal, the ever-living God, Yahweh, has given this land to you, and that great fear of you has fallen on us. See all this encouragement? Man, that's great. Joshua and these guys are, they got to be at the top of their game. The great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Eternal dried up the water of the Red Sea. That's an incident that took place 40 years before she's talking here. And they wandered all over the desert for that 40 years. For you, dried up the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. Look at this encouragement that these spies are being given. It's just fantastic. For the Eternal, your God, is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Eternal that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all that belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for yours, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house she lived in was a part of the city wall. Jericho had a double wall. They had a wall that they built years ago that was 6 feet tall, about as tall as I am. And then they built a secondary wall that was about 15 foot wider than the first wall, and it was about 12 to 15 foot tall. And so her house spanned these two walls. They put branches up and logs up and everything like that so that they could, she could live up there. So anyway, that's where she lived. It's kind of a precarious place because any time an attack comes, she's going to be the first one to get it. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so she says to them, so she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house that she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. So she tells her own people to go over toward the Jordan River, and she tells these guys to go just the opposite direction in the hills and the mountains and the valleys so that they aren't even close to one another. She's a pretty sharp gal, I'll tell you. And she's very encouraging to these guys too. So they have a little discussion here about some technicalities. If you come out of your house at all during this battle, we're not going to help you. You're on your own. And so she understood that, and they stayed in there until the rescue came, stayed in her house. Verse 22. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding the spies. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forged the Jordan River, and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. Then Joshua said, the Eternal has surely given us the whole land into our hands. All of the people are melting with fear because of us. So that encouragement did a lot of good, because in chapter 12, there's a list of 31 kings that fell before Joshua. 31 kings had lost their lives and lost the battles with him because God was with him. And it says in Revelation that Christ has many, many, many crowns on his head. And I've wondered if the crowns are the 31 crowns that are listed here in Joshua. Just a point of curiosity for me. Don't know anything about that, but it just seems odd that there's many crowns that Christ wears and there's many people that Joshua had beaten in battle. Okay, we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to look at the Beatitudes, which means happy and blessed. Beatitudes are happy and blessed. Or put another way, in another spot in the dictionary, it's perfect happiness and perfect blessedness. That's going a long ways. So Christ is talking about a very important issue here. Very important. Let's go to Matthew 5. That's where the Beatitudes are. Matthew 5 and verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, my writing is getting so bad I can't even read it. Oh, by the way, some of this information in the Beatitudes is taken from the MacArthur Bible. I need to put that in there as a disclaimer so we don't hear about it. Let's go to Matthew 5 and verse 4. The world's way is part good times. Oh, it's parties and good times. But God last, and the people put God last. That's what we're talking about. They put people, God is put last by so many, many people if he's in their lives at all. The real truth is just the opposite. Notice that the truth of salvation is the kingdom of heaven, not the parties that people are prone to be at. Let's go to Matthew 5 and verse 5. Meek is the issue in this beatitude. Meek is beginning to control. Meek is being in control of one's self, not out of control. Christ is quoted David from Psalms 37:11, where David uses the term five times. Five times he uses the term kingdom of God, inheriting the land, inheriting the earth. And the term five times in this one chapter alone. How great is that? We get to live forever and ever and ever. It's amazing. It's not something that's going on today. So many of us, all of us actually, are facing death. Some of us, we're closer to it than others. But we're all facing it. We're all going to go to the dead, but they're not going to come to us. It just doesn't work that way. I want to read James 2 and verse 13. This is about meekness. James 2 and verse 13. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. If you're not merciful, you're not kind, you can forget about eternal life. I didn't write it, but I'm a passer on her. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who is not merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's why the mercy seat is over the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where God rests. That's where he sits. So, that's one of the things that Roy was commenting about today. Matthew 5 and verse 6. This is those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is the opposite of self-righteousness, like the Pharisees. It speaks of those who seek God's righteousness rather than attempting to establish a righteousness of their own. It will satisfy their hunger and thirst for a right relationship with God. You have the right attitude, and your righteousness is toward following and obeying God. That is what God is looking for, and that's what we are looking for. Matthew 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm going to read James 2 and verse 13 again. It's a good scripture, and it's good to have it for this message. James 2 and verse 13. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So that fits in both of these categories. Verse 5 and chapter 5 and verse 8 of Matthew, and this is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's go to James 3 and verse 17. James 3 and verse 17. Who is... wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, coming from a pure heart. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive. Are we submissive? Full of mercy. Are we merciful? And good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. We're almost done. Hebrews 12, and verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men, not just our brothers and sisters in this room, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the eternal. Holiness has to be there. No one will see the eternal. Okay. Last verse, Matthew 5 and verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. When you're made fun of and put down and stuff, that's a pretty tough one to take in front of everybody else. I didn't find any supporting scriptures for that, but it's going to come. It's not here yet, but it's going to come, no doubt about it, because it came in the past. When Christ was here on earth, he was persecuted and eventually murdered. And, of course, he was raised 3 days later, but... he was persecuted for it seemed like everything he said he was persecuted on. Well, brethren, have a great Sabbath.